I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for June 18th, 2018 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Husman?
Mrs. Husman is absent and excused.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Six members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all of you to our City Council meeting tonight. I know that many of you are here for Agenda Item 8A concerning St. Elias, and we will have your questions, but recall, this is past a public hearing and past a zoning committee meeting. This is for council to vote tonight, but we will follow Mr. Hanem's lead on this item. At this time, I invite you all to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, led this meeting by Mr. Lukey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under Agenda Item 3, additions to the agenda, I would propose that we move Agenda Item 8A up to Agenda Item 4A. Since that's what most of you are here for tonight, we don't need to inconvenience you with the rest of our agenda.
Sorry.
Thank you, we'll get it. Mrs. Westfall, any additional items?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of City Council, any additions to the agenda?
I was going to try to schedule a streets committee.
We will put that, let's just do a, under 9A, schedule streets committee.
Mr. Mayor, I would also like to schedule a safety committee meeting.
We'll make that 9B. Any additional items from members of City Council? Hearing none, Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries, and the agenda for the evening is approved. Going to Agenda Item 4, approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on June 4th. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do believe that there are some adjustments to the minutes, and I'm going to defer to Mr. Lukey.
Yes, just a very small one, Mrs. Westfall. It reflects the fact in one place in the minutes that I was absent, and I was indeed absent, and I believe excused, and then in the column to the right, it says that I was, that everyone was present. So I just want to make sure that we align that to reflect the fact that I was excused and absent.
Thank you, Mr. Lukey. So I move approval of the Sylvania City Council meeting minutes for June 4th, 2018, as amended.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve those meeting minutes as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries, and the meeting minutes for June 4th, 2018, as amended, are approved. Now going to new Agenda Item 4A, which is Agenda Item 8A. This is Proposed Ordinance 38-2018, amending the special use permit for St. Elias Antioch and Orthodox Church to add an additional building on the property. Mr. Hanem?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had a zoning and annexation committee meeting on, what was that, June 12th, at 6:15. Supposed to be at 6, but somebody was late. That would be me. Just to summarize the meeting generally, we had an initial presentation by representatives of the St. Elias Church of the screening plan and a discussion of the accommodations of the neighbors' concerns by moving the trees 14 feet off the property line and increasing the number of trees, and we also had some discussion of presentation by the representatives of the Montessori School of operations plans for the for the facility that would be constructed. We had a number, large number of residents present, at least five residents spoke in objection, I'm sorry, in opposition to the recommendation of the Planning Commission on the basis of concerns with noise from children, lights from cars dropping off kids, increased traffic in the area, adverse impact on housing values, and insufficient tree height in the proposed screening materials. There was also some requests about the need for a traffic report and and Leslie agreed to look into that and report back to us. At the end of the evening, the committee simply referred this back to council for action, and it's on tonight's agenda. I think the first thing would be appropriate would be, Leslie, for you to report on the what you found out about the traffic study.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Hanum. I sent an email on Friday to city council members, staff members, and to the residents whose emails I got at the committee meeting. And our code does not require a traffic study unless there's going to be an increase of 100 cars in peak traffic time. It's not anticipated that this change will do that, so there's no traffic study required.
And I'll just say, having done a number of these, that's what I would have expected, that a traffic study was not required. So just to remind everyone where we stand, we have we referred SUP 1-2018 to the Planning Commission for their review and recommendation. The Planning Commission recommended approval of SUP 1-2018. It will take a majority of council to either reject the recommendation of the Planning Commission or to amend the recommendation of the Planning Commission. We do have as a proposed amendment to the recommendation of the Planning Commission the presentation of the landscape plan, which I know has been developed by the by St. Elias in consultation with our administration offices, our city our forestry folks. In order to move this forward, I think we should probably allow, we have a lot of people here and some of them may not have had an opportunity to comment before, so I would suspect we would have comment, but before we do that, I think we ought to have a motion on the table and to consider going forward as we move forward with our discussion under the rules. So I would move that we approve SUP 1-2008, subject to the amendment of the addition of the site landscape plan presented by the petitioner, St. Elias Church.
Mr. Hanum, do you intend to introduce Ordinance 38-2018 to accomplish that?
That's what I would propose.
Why don't you make
to
your
do.
Normal
do you want me
motion?
To do that?
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Mayor, let me, all members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only Ordinance Number 38-2018, amending the special use permit for St. Elias Antioch and Orthodox Church to add an additional building on the property located at 4940 Haroon Road, Sylvania, Ohio, modifying the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission and declaring an emergency. and also waiving the second and third reading.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 38-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. Before taking a vote on that, Mr. Hanem, would you like to now invite input from city councilmen first, and then from people in the audience?
We can do it that way, or we can do it the other way around?
Whatever your preference is.
Whichever, why don't we let our visitors speak, and then we'll...
All right. There has already been opportunities to speak at a public hearing and at the zoning committee meeting, and we do have other items on the agenda tonight, so I would welcome comments of positions, but not repetitive comments of the same nature. So why don't we listen to the proponents first to speak why this should be approved?
Mayor, if I may, I'm Kent Reason, and I'm wife Donna Shore Reason. I think the majority of people in the first two rows are employees of Little Miracles, or their children go to Little Miracles, so I think they're here in support of the thing. I don't know if they want to say anything, but just to be honest, I think the first two rows are predominant employees of Little Miracles or our religion church. So that... And clients. So that might eliminate some questions about that issue.
All right. Following the zoning committee meeting, are there any comments you'd like to make, perhaps from the father or from your architect, just to remind city council where you're at with your zoning, with your screening plan and the need for this in the community?
Good evening. And Father Raymond Kapoor, the pastor of St. Tobias. And I have been here for a few times listening to the opinions of everyone. And I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention today to the difference between being lawless or to break the law and inconvenience. In our work here in the church, this project is going to be a high-quality child care that will bring help to many families and to the city economy and to the church. It could be inconvenient for our neighbors that, as we heard the objections, some noise will be present, traffic and lights. But I want everyone to remember that we are willing, as noted, to do everything that to alleviate and ease that inconvenience and bring it to an acceptable levels. This doesn't mean that we are not doing anything to break the law, and it's our basic right to use the property that we own for the benefit of everyone around us. So on behalf of over than 300 parishioners of the church that unanimously brought the request to your attention, to the attention of your council, to request the approval of this project to help the church and the city alike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father. I believe you speak for the applicants, and that was fine. Why don't we see if there's somebody who would like to speak for those opposed to this zoning change?
Mr. Mayor, could I ask a question, though, as it relates to that?
Absolutely.
We had a couple of unfinished matters at the end of the hearing, the end of the committee meeting last week. And I wonder if the architect, Mr. Hecock, or someone else from the church could speak to that. Specifically, I think we all understood the screening that you had been proposing, the setback in addition to the 15 feet that you've been proposing. The discussions related to, I think, some additional mounding. And then I think there was also some disagreement among the neighbors that you had mislabeled and misidentified the property along the north end of the site.
That is true.
So could you maybe let us know how you've addressed those two specific issues?
Actually, what happened, quite honestly, is that all of that thing, and the new stuff, because it was all going together. So what had happened? lower level had been, was shifted is not correct. This is where the pool is. It's directly north of the existing building. In terms of the mound, we did go look at the mound. Camera Schneider. And the one thing that we find, and I've talked to John Squire again, if we put a mound in here, what it's going to do is literally probably kill all the existing vegetation along that tree. And that's even if we move it out from the 7-foot setback point. What we're saying is we could probably provide a 5-foot high mound here, but that means you're cutting down what's there to plant new, smaller stuff. And quite honestly, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So we've addressed those issues. The drawing is correct. I gave a copy to Mr. Vines for the neighbors last Friday. That's basically it.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions from members of City Council? All right. Again, I offer comments to the neighbors. You need to come up front and tell us who you are for the record. Please come to the microphone. This is taped, and tell us who you are and where you live, and then ask your question.
Okay. My name is Cindy Vines. I live at 6231 Arrowhead Drive. And if you look at it, it's at the new building, which is maybe 3/4 of my backyard. So I'm going to get the front.
Scott, can you show us which is her home on the plan? Okay, thank you.
Which currently, we have a split rail fence, and it's clear. There's no vegetation there whatsoever. So our view would be 3/4 of the building. So there isn't any vegetation. If there was a mound there, that would destroy or kill.
Quite honestly, there's three trees behind your property.
Two trees. No vegetation. And if you take a look at the vegetation that's along the fence line, it's just like weeds, thorny bushes. I didn't take pictures. I know that you were there.
I
don't see a big loss. The only time it's ever, the fence line is addressed is occasionally Toledo Edison will come around maybe 8 to 10 meters and crop the tops because they interfere with the electric lines. Otherwise, the vegetation is never addressed. It's just thorny bushes, debris. Nothing
it's also
that I agree.
It helps the screening noise. Actually, John Squire just showed up. John, you want to address that? You got a second?
I'm sorry, I can't hear back.
Come on up. Mr. Squire, please come up front.
So, look, can I just ask, while John's coming up, could I ask a question? So, you're at 4231.
6231.
I'm sorry. And so,
right that which you can see, probably 3/4 of the building is going to be back to my backyard.
Okay, right.
Which currently is all clear except for two trees.
Okay, got that. So, my question to Scott.
Can you turn on his microphone?
What I'm seeing there drawn in is some plantings that you will add to the landscaping. Is that correct? All the way to the end of her property?
20 trees, 20 arborvitae, and one spruce tree.
Okay, so the point is that you're going to be getting some plantings. That
And how tall are those plantings?
Well, roughly 4 or 5 feet.
To start, right?
To start.
And then how big will they get over time?
10 to 12.
Okay. Just want to make sure I heard it right the last time. Okay.
And then I didn't really see on this new is our concern.
This is, I mean, I did not put a dimension on there, but actually what we've agreed to, what the church has agreed to, the three locations are approximately, when the planning goes in, the neighbors are actually allowed to help select where they are placed.
Mr. Squire, if I may, Mr. Heacock, you had Mr. Squire help you with the selection of the plantings, is that?
That's correct. John and I have known each other for, what, 35 years or so?
And perhaps we could have the landscape architect tell us what these plantings can do for the screening wall.
John just played me off the way.
Or can, most of the plantings are arborvitae. Hemp's evergreen plant that will grow up to maybe 20, 25 feet. Green year round. Normally they're not trimmed. They're a plant that grows, you know, without pruning. Some of the other plants shown are kind of soften up the line. Colorado spruce, and they're a good plant in this area. It's been proven to grow not quite well enough, so it's.
Can I ask a clarification, maybe for Mr. Hanum? So has the zoning board or the planning commission, have they required any kind of, when they approved the plan, was it in requirement of any kind of planting of any kind of tree or bush or anything like that? Or is this simply the church offering to be neighborly?
This is the church responding, I think, to questions that council asked and suggested as means of ameliorating the concerns of the neighbors.
If I could address the planning commission process. It enforces the code as we have it, and because of the distance of the building from the property line, no screening was required by our code. It's an extra consideration by the owner to offer this screening. That's why the Plan Commission didn't act on it.
But I think it's worth noting that the reason we have the landscape plan is because Council encouraged the church
certainly did
to do that as a means of accommodating the concerns of the neighbors. So it was a the Planning Commission determined that the original plan as presented satisfied the requirements of the code and was appropriate for that spot within the within our zoning code regulations. Council urged the church to consider the additional screening and planting. They have offered that, and we have offered, and the pending motion is to incorporate that into the approval of the SUP, which makes this a separately enforceable requirement of the of SUP 1-2018. So this is an amendment to that plan, and church will be required to do that to comply with their approval going forward.
So just for clarification purposes, these arborvitae that are proposed here, obviously they get higher and they create a sound barrier to a certain extent. Will they get wider as well and basically end up growing together, effectively creating a semi-continuous barrier across the back of that, the side of that property?
That's actually the approach we're taking. They're 4 or 5 feet apart, they grow together, they'll actually become a line of green.
And approximately how long, because I'm not a plant expert, I can't even grow grass, so I'm just trying to understand how long it takes before those, you know, grow together. Is it a year? Is it 10 years? Is it 20 years?
Yeah, five
So Scott, the only thing that I believe you also talked about last time at the committee meeting was the fact that these plantings are somewhat vulnerable in the first year or two because of the lack of water. And you had, I believe, said that there would be some ability for the church to make sure that they're watered so that they don't die.
The building actually has two hose beds on the east and west side, so they'll be able to water the plants. This little bump out right here is outside storage, so it's perfect for hoses.
So having the capability is different than having the commitment. Okay, so are we going to be able to get that done? No, okay. So we can assume that that won't happen, right? Okay. Thank you.
And I think we're also buying trees that are here for 2 years, isn't that what you also said?
Okay, so I have to say to the members of council who are not on the committee, this is a relatively rigorous approach to the screening, primarily because the committee felt it was important to listen to the concerns of the neighbors. So I would say the church and the school have complied with everything that council felt was appropriate here. Scott has done a fine job, and John, with coming back with a plan. So I believe that it's totally appropriate to make that request, and I appreciate the fact that they've responded to it the way they have.
All right. Thank you, John. Is council prepared to vote on Mr. Hannum's first motion?
Yes.
Repeated, it's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 38-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Mr. Mayor, of ordinance number 38-2018 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 38-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 38-2018 is approved. Thank you all for your attendance this evening. You are more than welcome to stay for the rest of our meeting.
Good luck. Good luck. I wish you the best.
It's not bad, yeah.
Good luck. Thanks, John. Thank you.
All right. Let's get back on our agenda as scheduled. We're up to agenda item 5. This has to do with the Plan Commission's recommendation for zoning ordinance amendment application special use permit 2-2018 received from the Ability Center, proposing a training center to be built on campus. You have in your council packets the report from the Planning Commission recommending council to approve the requested amendment. The next step in the process is a public hearing, which council has already set, and it has already been advertised as July 16th at 6:45 p.m. No additional action is needed at this time. I don't know if anybody has any comments or questions about the process, but that one is on track. Moving on to agenda item 6. This has to do with the Acres Road resurfacing project. This is the project between Monroe Street and Alexis Road. The work is done, and the service director is back with a proposed first and final change order. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The project is complete. It was done on a Saturday, milled and filled all in one day. The primary reason for the change order is we ended up having to remove a little more asphalt than we were originally planning. Once we got in with the machines and started taking material out, some additional material was shown to not be satisfactory to keep in place, so we removed a little bit more and obviously put a little more back. So there was an increase in the contract in the amount of $1,229.43, bringing the total project cost to $33,116.43. And we are in agreement with the quantities and the costs of the material and would recommend approval.
Again, this is a field condition that the increase was for. Even though it was 20% more asphalt, the change order itself is in the area of 3 or 4%.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 36-2018. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to approve Change Order Number 1, final, to this city's agreement with Crestline Paving and Excavating for the Acres Road, Alexis Road to Monroe Street resurfacing project, which reflects the actual work performed on this project, increasing the contract amount by $1,229.43, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 36-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 36-2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 36-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 36-2018 is approved. Moving on to Agenda Item 7, the administration is back to you with a request for study dollars for another potential water source. I'm sure you've been following it in the media, what's happened in the last few weeks with Toledo backing away from Tawa and giving their take-it-or-leave-it proposal. Because of their backing away from the project earlier in the year, I previously visited the Great Lakes Water Authority, and we already have a study underway with them to see about a connection to that water system and what the cost of the water would be. And this is another one that's come forward. Groundwater has been studied by the city of Sylvania in the past. We looked at reopening the city's existing well field and or drilling new wells and using one of the quarries west of town to fill it and be our surface water source. But the water around here, groundwater around here, is so hard. It has so much iron and sulfur in it, it's very expensive to treat. Apparently, the water from the Machindo Aquifer is far softer and purer and requires not a whole lot of treatment. The city is being looked at this very skeptically in the first place, but the service director has decided it's worth taking a look at this, both for the purity of the water, the safety of it, and the potential price for it. And also the fact that we have been offered an ownership position in this water source. That's very important. I would like to remind City Council, because of the media coverage on the Toledo Mayor's proposal, that I am skeptical and not in agreement with that proposal. We have always said that the problem with the water has three different goals that must be met by a new water agreement. One is that the cost of water would be based on the actual cost of the production of the water. Although we have a technical subcommittee that Mr. Aller is working on, Toledo insists on including internal improvements in their distribution system as a part of that cost and will control the Collins Park water plant and thereby has the ability to put people on the payroll there that are not really part of the cost of production of water. So it misses that requirement. We have also required that the price cannot be unilaterally changed by Toledo in the future. Well, it was in your face in their proposal that Toledo City Council reserves the right to set rates. That fails on my second requirement. The third is that there would be redundancy in the water system. They are not addressing redundancy in any way. In fact, their utility director was quoted in the newspaper as saying, "We're so fortunate we don't have to put a second intake into the lake or provide elevated storage." I think the Ohio EPA will be requiring those, but he's acting like they've never heard of such a thing. So they have not produced on any of those three requirements. That's why we're looking at other sources. And we are not looking at them alone. We're looking at them with our fellow suburban customers. So I would like Mr. Aller to talk about the specifics of this study.
Mr. Mayor, before we go forward, I'd just like to share with you and my fellow council members, I think we're in largely the same place, but I don't think we're in exactly the same place. I'll admit I was very surprised when the city of Toledo signed on to TAWA initially. The developments since that day are much more in line with what I expected from the city of Toledo all along. I don't think they're a viable partner for us going forward. It is clear that they are not interested in partnering with us. They're still very interested in being a supplier. As a relatively small user of water in the world of water, I am not as concerned about being a customer going forward. I think we can be a customer of a water supplier, and with appropriate contractual protections and including things like making sure that we have long lead times between when we have the ability to opt out of a contract before we have to, you know, re-up for a new one, so that we can have, if we signed a 20-year service contract, that 10 years from now, I would want to be negotiating a 20-year extension, so that we are not caught again in the situation that we were, where the city of Toledo was able to impose on us a very harsh and unfair water supply arrangement, with us not really having an opportunity to explain other options. So as we go forward, I'm interested in being, like I said, I'm most interested in seeing the city of Sylvania be a customer with a good and defensible contract. Some of those things that would make a provider of water more attractive to me would be a redundant system. Clearly, Great Lakes Water Authority has multiple water intakes and four water plants. That redundancy is, to some extent, built into that system. I like that. This Machindo aquifer system, we have demonstrated options where that's worked. Kevin will talk about that. City of Toledo is has provided us water, which from a water quality standpoint has been excellent for a long time. The incidents of August 2016, I've shared with you my views on that. I think a lot of that was overreaction and misstatement. And in fact, if we applied the same data that was used by the city to shut down our water system, if we used the same policies that EPA has in place today and compared it to that data, we wouldn't have that. So I'm not overly concerned with the city of Toledo as a potential supplier, except for the fact that they've been so hostile towards us as a community over the last decade and a half or so, ever since we had to renew our contract. So what I would hope that we come away with, and I know it's going to take a little more time, I know we're not there yet, but I would hope that in, as we complete our study of the Great Lakes Water Authority and the Machindo aquifer, that when those things come together, that we're prepared to, in relatively short order, negotiate a contract with a supplier that will provide us with a long-term good water supply and with flexibility going forward, so that we are always in a position of having options as whenever we look at a contract going forward.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Haller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Michigan or Machindo, can't say Michigan, that's not allowed. The Machindo Aquifer is an aquifer in western Ohio. It covers 9 counties in total, 3 each in Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana. And it's primarily in the Williams County, Defiance County, and Fulton County in Ohio. And that aquifer currently serves approximately 7 million gallons a day, 7 million gallons a day of water to several smaller communities in that western area, the largest probably being Bryan, Ohio, of those entities. It's believed that this aquifer, the abilities of this aquifer haven't even been touched. It's a very large aquifer. It's as large as a similar aquifer in southwest Ohio that serves the Dayton and Montgomery County areas. And that aquifer has provided 65 million gallons a day of water to communities in that area. And several of those communities have been using that aquifer for over 100 years. And it's believed that this aquifer is just as large, that it recharges just as fast, and that it can provide that same amount of water. If all of the area communities were to enter into this agreement, we would be looking at roughly an average day supply of about 12 to 13 million gallons a day of water. So if you either add the existing, we're at about 20 total that would be coming out of this aquifer. The company by the name of Artesian of Pioneer is proposing that we do a well study to determine just how much water that aquifer can supply on a daily basis. It's their belief, they've done over 500 plants, all groundwater, not all groundwater, a large majority of their plants all being groundwater, but it's their belief that this aquifer can supply what our demands would be with ease, and that the quality that we will get from the aquifer will be of a very high nature, that the treatment is, in the world of treatment, very easy. There are some things that we have to deal with from the surface water standpoint of receiving water from the city of Toledo that we would not have to deal with in the groundwater world. One of the issues that we have out here, the longer that chlorine sets in the water system, the as you get further out into the system, it creates what's called trihalomethanes. It's a cancerous byproduct of the chlorination system, and you are limited at how what your level of trihalomethanes can be. That is a problem that we deal with continuously out here. We don't exceed limits, but it's something that we have to keep a close eye on. We actually flush some areas of our system so that we keep water moving, and that's something that we have to keep an eye on. Other areas, South County Water actually in Monroe actually exceeded their level 2 years ago, and, you know, had to do a lot of additional testing, had to do a lot of additional flushing, and have had to deal with that. With groundwater, you don't have that concern. That it's removed because groundwater doesn't have total organic carbons in it, TOCs. That comes in surface water. I don't want to throw a whole lot of technical stuff at you, but we removed that obstacle. The mayor mentioned if you have a lot of sulfur or iron in the water, treatment is difficult, and that's true. Treatment can be very difficult if you're dealing with that type of groundwater. The system, existing systems that draw water out of the Machindo Aquifer are not dealing with that. None of them have sulfur concerns. None of them have iron concerns. It's a mixture on if they soften or don't soften. This system so far, because people are used to a certain softness in this area, we're considering putting some softening treatment into it just because that's what people are used to. From a water use standpoint, it wouldn't need to be softened, but from changing what people are used to, we may continue to soften. But that's still to be determined. Where we're at right now is, will it produce enough water, and what is the quality of that water so we know exactly what we're looking at from a treatment standpoint. Artesia Pioneer has proposed doing that study. The total cost of the study is approximately $160,000. We have split it up evenly among communities, and communities that we know are in, if those are the only communities that participate, our share of the study would be a maximum of $35,000. And I can't guarantee to you, but I am fairly certain that there are going to be additional communities that participate in the study that would reduce our contribution even less. But until they've had the opportunity to take it to their council for approval, I obviously can't assure you of that. But I do think this study, I did enter it. I did attend a meeting somewhat skeptically at first. But the information that I obtained during that meeting, I came back and started doing some additional research and looking for more information. And I think this is something that we should consider. We're looking at a lifetime decision. And to not research something like this that could be a fantastic source of water, I think would be a mistake. And so I ask for your approval to move forward, participate in the study with a maximum appropriation of $35,000.
Kevin, question for you. One of the mayor's triad of requirements is for the city of Toledo to look at redundant source. Could this potentially be the redundant source for the city of Toledo?
I think it potentially could be. If you take a look at what the population served in the Dayton and Montgomery County area, they're actually serving 1.5 million people in the metropolitan area. And we have, well, I think our metropolitan area is about, you know, 600,000, give or take. So, if this aquifer is the same size, it could potentially be. I don't know if Toledo would be interested in that or not. What it does provide in the mayor's triad is if we connect to the Machindo Aquifer, then we have Toledo and or the aquifer as our redundant source. If we should lose one for any reason or another, we have the other one as that we're connected to and can provide water to us.
And thus far, the city of Toledo hasn't indicated any interest in utilizing this particular source, so they're not one of the other communities sharing the cost of the study?
That's correct. And in fairness, I don't know that the city of Toledo has been approached. I can't say that for sure.
Some information on that, Mr. Frye, is I've been told that the Ohio EPA is holding off on their requirement for the city of Toledo to put a second water intake into Lake Erie and to provide elevated storage for their system. They're waiting to see the outcome of the water authority negotiations. And I was told today that the Ohio EPA has requested a meeting with the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce to discuss the status. The cost for Toledo to put in a second water intake is $137 million. The elevated tanks, I don't know, Kevin, if you've got a number on that, but it's more. It's very valuable to the city of Toledo to have a second water source, whether it's Ms. Machindo or the Great Lakes Water Authority. It's probably going to take more than one. It's going to take Oregon and Bowling Green and something else all to say, we'll provide emergency water for Toledo. But they're not thinking down those lines at all at the moment. It's business as usual in the city of Toledo. But I would like, in all fairness, to say we have made progress with the city of Toledo. There is no talk of income tax sharing for water anymore, as our current contract calls for. And they have pledged to equalize the cost of water. They just won't commit to what's in the cost of that water. But there's no surcharges, there's no first, second, or third block rates that only Toledo gets. We have made a lot of progress with them, but we haven't met any of the three goals yet. I think it might be negotiable with Toledo in the future to have a contract that we are each other's redundant source. If this plays out, we don't know what the numbers are.
Understood.
We don't know the cost of the line to get it here. We don't know the cost of the line from the Great Lakes Water Authority. We are gathering information so that a studied, appropriate decision can be made near the end of the year.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just a question about the ordinance in front of us. The evaluation that would be done, that we're going to vote on tonight, covers, I assume, the quantity of water available to us and probably the quality. It does not, as I understand it, involve any review of the infrastructure required to bring that water to Sylvania. Yes or no?
No, that's correct. The company has put together cost estimates of a treatment system and the transmission mains to get it to the western, actually to our doorstep, and as well to Maumee on the south side with a line connecting those two.
So can we assume that information will become available to us as we move forward with the study?
Yes.
So we don't have to necessarily be looking at a separate study for that?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I read in the paper today that Maumee City Council is considering the same study tonight. Mm-hmm. And if indeed they're on board, that's what will help reduce our cost.
Correct.
Our cost may go down to 20-some thousand?
Right at 20,000.
Okay. Also, the city of Perrysburg is considering it as well, but I don't know if it's tonight. Tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow. Okay. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, based on the questions that I asked for a very specific reason, I need to push back from the table based upon my conflicts with my personal business.
Okay, we need a motion allowing Mr. Frye to withdraw due to a conflict of interest.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. So let the record show that Mr. Frye is not participating in this vote. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 37-2018. All members of council, having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Artesian of Pioneer to evaluate the sustainability and water quality of the Machindo Aquifer as an alternative water source for the city of Sylvania, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $35,000, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 37-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of Ordinance Number 37-2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 37, 2018, as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 37, 2018 is approved. Thank you. Let the record show that Mr. Frye is rejoining us at the table as we go to the second page of our agenda. We've already covered 8A, so now we are on to 8B. There are two parts to 8B, reports of the Committee of the Whole this evening. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had a Committee of the Whole meeting this evening, Monday, June 18th, and we had two topics on the agenda, U.S. 23 interchange study and the TARDA sales tax issue. All members of council were present except for Mrs. Hussman, who was excused. Members of administration, we had many were present as well, and the mayor was present. And we did have many members of the community, the fire people from the fire department, people from Manic and Smith for discussion on U.S. 23 interchange, and representatives from TARDA for the discussion on the TARDA sales tax issue. So the first session was, portion of the meeting was focused on U.S. 23 interchange study. We had representatives Jean Hartline and Nicole Carter from Manic and Smith present. Jean did a full presentation, a PowerPoint. She showed the timeline that they were looking at, and she also spoke about the various options, the alternative plans that were available. She shared that the interchange phases would probably be a maximum of three, and that there would be a public meeting in September or October with the final report to be presented in November. She did show us seven interchange alternatives. She was asked by a council member if she had a preference, and she did indicate that alternative seven hybrid was her preference. And she did, in further discussion upon questioning from council members, indicate that there is not a clear solution at this moment in time for the challenges at Haroon Road, although she anticipates that there will be some more recommendations by the public meeting. She also indicated that Alt 7 would require a change at Acres with a right turn only. There would be no signal there. And then she spoke in more detail about all exits and entrances and the ability to cross Monroe Street Bridge in a more efficient manner, primarily focused on a discussion around the alternative 7 hybrid. And I think, again, we closed with just anticipating the public meeting would be coming up, and if we had any questions, we could direct those to Mr. Aller or to Mr. Shaw. Anything else from council members that you think is critical to that conversation? Okay. With that, we then moved into a discussion with TARDA, and we had President Jim Gee, and who is CEO and General Manager of TARDA, and Kirk Ludwig, who is on the Board of Directors as a representative for the City of Sylvania. And the TARDA discussion focused on a review of questions that have been submitted in advance and responded to specifically from Mr. Richardson and Mr. Hanum. And then they did do some further clarification. Critical points of discussion included that there had been a change in this plan from 0.5% sales tax to 0.4%, and that would provide a change in terms of funding. They're anticipating $20 million would be needed for their efforts, and that the City of Sylvania would have an opportunity for funding at $231,000 based on funds that were remaining from the 80-20 split. They also indicated that, based on a question from Mr. Richardson, I believe that they anticipate a 9% savings with sales tax versus property tax for the citizens of Sylvania. He did give some information on that. He spoke a bit about the alternative resources in terms of transportation, talking about van access and a type of Uber access and a type of electric car access. He did indicate that there would be quarterly updates to the strategic plan, that he's planning to have a citizens committee in place that will continue to look at all of these elements. I would say the one question that I think came up from Mr. Hanem was specific to the goals presented by Tarda, and Mr. Gee certainly addressed that question, and I think, however, council members still had some lack of clarity about long-term goals as they were presented. He did indicate that there are currently 3 million people, I believe, using the Tarda system, and their goal is to get it to 4 million passengers by the end of 5 years, which would be a 33% increase. And with that, I think we certainly they extended their appreciation and would be open to further questions from council members if they're interested. Anything else from any council members that you'd like included in that report?
No.
And with that, the meeting adjourned at 7:25. So we do have legislation here for a second reading. It's item 8B2A. And so I'd like to introduce a second reading of resolution number 11-2018. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. A resolution amending the resolutions previously adopted, which created the Toledo Area Regional Transit Authority, TARDA, by 1, adding Lucas County as a member of TARDA, 2, eliminating TARDA's 2.5 mil property taxes and substituting a 0.4% sales tax and use tax, 3, allocating 80% of the tax collected to TARDA to directly fund its operations, and 20% to other local governmental entities for the installation, maintenance, and improvement of mass transit-related infrastructure, and 4, providing a new mechanism for withdrawal from membership in TARDA, provided that such changes are contingent upon voter approval of the new TARDA funding system at the November 6, 2018 general election.
Point of clarification.
Certainly.
This does reflect a change from the first reading in the amount of the sales and use tax from 0.5% to 0.4%.
Good point, Mr. Hanem, and we did point that out also in the discussion of the...
Do we need to amend that, the original? I'm sorry?
This is the second reading. You've previously amended legislation from the time that it's acted on and passed, so this is consistent with that. So
okay.
This is technically a revised resolution number 11-2018. It didn't make it on the actual resolution. It is on the agenda as revised.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think that's the end of the action needed for that tonight. Moving on, unless there's comments from any council members.
So procedurally, we're fine to make this.
So we will vote on this ostensibly at
July
16th. July meeting. What's the date of our July meeting?
The 16th.
The 16th. Okay. I don't know how to do this, but before we vote on the 16th, I would very much like to know the status of this resolution with the other members of TARDA. I don't know whether we can request that specifically from TARDA or elsewhere, but I'd be very interested in that. And I'll withhold my other comments until we vote, but I do have some thoughts about this.
Just to reiterate, Mr. Gee said that he needs action by the first week of August, so there's 2 or 3 weeks of leeway there. If City Council wants to have another meeting in there, the normal August 6th meeting has been waived, but you could reinstigate it if you choose to.
And Mr. Mayor, keep in mind, however, that I may not be present for the August meeting.
Okay. Well, hopefully that we don't have to have an extra meeting. We can do it in July. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 9, committee referrals. We have added to the agenda 9A, which is to schedule a Streets Committee meeting. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I wanted to schedule a committee for this, a meeting for the Streets Committee. A lot for me to get up to date and for us to get on the same page with discussions that have happened before me coming on council about creating a system of repairing sidewalks in a more systematic form. So I thought we could get together and talk about that. I would look at perhaps a morning, if that's convenient to anybody in the next couple of weeks.
What morning? But I'm interested.
No, yeah, please. But it's Mr. Hanum, Mr. Fry, and Mrs. Westfall, if I'm not mistaken, is on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else is welcome to come. I think, Mr. Aller, if you'd like to be there. So, I guess we'll, a week from today. A, is Mondays okay with everybody? Or, I'm sorry, is mornings okay with everybody?
It mornings works. Are fine. Monday mornings are not my
all right.
best.
Tuesday?
You know what? I have a conflict every other morning that week. And
okay.
Friday.
Friday the 22nd.
Oh, I've got that the wrong week.
Oh, wait, you're right. You're right.
Friday
the 29th. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
I'm open that morning.
I would propose 7 a.m. Friday the 29th.
7 a.m.?
If that is okay with everybody else. Mornings just generally work better for me, but whatever is good with everybody else.
I appreciate that because I have an 8 o'clock.
So I'll be able to look at that. Perfect.
So you want to do
I guess I would refer to suggestions from other members of the committee. Do you think it's better to have it in here, or should we go to the conference room at the municipal building for this kind of discussion? I don't think it's
easier for the administration.
Yes.
Because not many people will be around at 7. It might be easier to have it here because we could have somebody over there open it for us. I don't know. What do you think?
I'll be there.
You'll be there, so
Kevin. Be over at the municipal building? All right, let's do the conference room there. I think that would be better.
First floor conference?
Yeah.
First floor conference?
Yes.
I don't know where that's at. It's supposed to show me.
You can't miss it.
All service.
Right. It's on the first floor.
Oh, there you go. okay, so do I need a motion for this then, or?
I think we just did.
Nope.
No. And June 29th, 7 a.m. First floor conference room.
Okay, if we're done with that one, we move on to scheduling a safety committee meeting. Mr. Fry.
Well, this is myself, Mr. Hanum, Mr. Lukey, and Mrs. Westfall. Are there dates that don't work for anyone next week?
What time of day?
I'm open to do it in the evening or in the mornings. I have no... I just need to schedule around everything else, that's all.
And my only other open morning would be Monday.
Monday the 25th?
25th. And I have, I could do something at the end of the day on Monday or Tuesday.
You have what?
The evening I can't do the 25th.
Okay.
I've got a DD meeting.
Evening of the 26th.
Evening of the 26th I could do.
You want to try to do it following the Streets Committee meeting?
I could do
you
that.
Mean on the 29th?
I can't do that.
That's a conflict. That's I could do it the 26th.
What time on the 26th?
Doesn't matter, either morning or evening.
5:30?
Yeah.
No, oh, wait, I can't the 26th. I'm sorry.
Work for anyone?
How long do you think it's going to take?
This is about the Tobacco 21.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could. I have to be out by 8:30 because I have it. 9 o'clock meeting in
London. You're talking about the morning.
On the 26th. Right, so
I can't do the 26th at all.
Okay.
27th.
27th, I could do a 7:30.
I'm in Columbus that day.
Okay.
Would, about the end of the day. Be back.
It's pretty stretchy.
I'm open the 28th, either morning or evening.
I know, it'll be a push for me in the morning, but I could try. If it's 7:30, I can move something around, so let's try with that. 7:30 to 8:30?
Works for me.
On the 28th?
Mm-hmm.
Staff will not be, I move staff meeting on the 28th till 8 a.m. Do you need staff to be there for this meeting?
I think Chief Flores.
Yeah, the chief.
The reason that meeting's been changed is we do have another regional water meeting on the 28th at 11 a.m., so I had to...
Well, there's no rush on this, so we could do this...
Right, yeah, I was just trying to schedule it as soon as we can, but I mean, we can move it, I don't want to move it to the week of the 4th of July.
So let's do it the week of the 9th.
Week of the 9th of July?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
How about Monday evening, or 5:30 or something?
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Mark?
The 9th, at what time?
5:30?
Sure.
July 9th, 5:30. And that's a Monday?
Yep.
Did you say 5 or 5:30?
5:30.
Can you do that, Chief? You're the expert one.
What location? Here?
Yeah, let's do it here, based on what it is. And if you could invite the people from the health department as well?
Okay.
Safra Ibrahim, and I don't remember the other lady's name.
All right.
Shannon, ma'am.
Pardon?
Shannon.
Thank you.
Sure, Cheryl, no.
Do we have any obligation to notice this in a way that folks who may not be proponents but interested can attend? And I'm thinking primarily perhaps the Chamber of Commerce or the retail merchants. I guess that's a legal feeling.
No, we post our notices as usual. There's no special notice procedure. But it's just like any other committee meeting.
Okay. I'll speak on their behalf.
you've read the script before?
Today.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. We'll have the clerk post these two committee meetings. Moving on to the informational items, I draw your attention first to item A. This is the official notification from Lucas County that the annexation has been approved. I believe there's a six-month period before the actual annexation will take place, so about the first of the year or so, we will be taking in those 80-some acres. I also want to bring your attention to item E, report from the Tax Division. This is the first time we've shared this with you this year. You'll note that our income tax receipts are down for the year 3%, 0% or no change is what was budgeted by Mr. Schroyer in the budget. He has been looking at where the differences are happening, and it is because of empty office space in the city as a result of ProMedica personnel being moved to downtown Toledo. Last year we had it was 10%, 11%, or 12% increase.
Two years ago
we had a big
last
increase.
Year it came down because they started
a little bit, but now even though we took in a lot of new employees at the Health and Wellness Center, now we're starting to lose the ones to downtown Toledo. We will put these in the council packets for the monthly in the council packets, and then. Mr. Sanford asked that we put this memo in about town and gown. Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just this conference this year, it's the flyers attached, and it's in July, and it's in Bowling Green. It's the only third time for the conference. It's just for the state of Ohio. I attended last year. I think it's very worthwhile. There were many council people and city staffs and college and university staff at this conference. So it's pretty affordable. If you can make any of it, I'd recommend it, attending. I encouraged the DSA to apply to put on one of the sessions, and it was accepted, so they're going to, and I'll be involved in that a little bit, as will Lawrence, in the presentation about the Redbird Art District. So.
Hey, Bill, I am looking at this. I think that the Redbird District piece, I'm confused. It looks to me like the Redbird District is on Thursday, July 19th at 3:15. So just a point of clarification, am I mixed up? Maybe look at the agenda and see what you're, if you're reading it the same that I am.
That sounds right. It's on the...
I just want to make sure people are at the right place if they choose to participate in that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so Wednesday,
Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and that session is on Thursday. But with the nice part is that you'd be able to drive back and forth from here to attend. You wouldn't have to spend the night. But again, it's worthwhile just meeting and interacting with some of the other, and the sessions are pretty good. It was in Miami University, Oxford last year.
It would be good to be there to support our Redbird District, but you also might want to hear about other communities. So that's the reason to go other days. Is there any additional items for consideration by City Council tonight? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 4 weeks from tonight, on Monday, July 16th at 7:30 p.m. in these chambers. Thank you all for attending.